Well, good morning once again. Pastor Tom, thank you for leading us in prayer and all those things that were on your heart there to encourage us to think about and lift up our brothers and sisters through the things they're going through. Thank you for that. Like I said earlier, we will take communion together after the message. So again, have something that can represent the bread and the cup. Be ready for that. Let me have you open up your Bibles to Psalm 103. We're going to be looking at Psalm 103 this morning as our text for today. The message here I've entitled, Remembering All His Benefits. If you have your outline, go ahead and grab that. Or if you just have a piece of paper, something that you can write on, it's always helpful to take notes, write some verses down. It kind of gets in your thoughts and in your memory in a couple of different ways. So we're turning to Psalm 103. You're going to be looking at this morning. I have to tell you, this psalm has a very special place in my life, and I'll explain why, but just very impactful in my life. My mom's mom, my grandmother, her name was Nettie. She was a central figure in my life when I was growing up. My grandmother lived with me, with us, my family, throughout my childhood. I would say from being born until 16 years old, my grandmother lived with us off and on for about 8 years. So you would think from your childhood, from 0 to 16, my grandmother was there like half the time. Very important time in my life, growing up like that. We all know that, how important it is, your childhood, and she was there. And in 1975, I gave my life to Christ and became a Christian, and my life began to change, and a lot of things began to happen. But at that time, my grandmother, Nettie, was in Villa Manor here, over here in the local convalescent hospital in Porterville. She had lived in Porterville for a few years, and her health had started to deteriorate, and then she moved into Villa Manor, and then... I remember just talking to that about my mom, and my mom would go every day, faithfully. My mom went every day for over a year that my grandmother was in Villa Manor there. I went occasionally, but with my new life in Christ, that really changed, and I started to visit her quite a bit, and I shared with her my new life in Christ, my salvation. She told me somewhat about Jesus and some things that I didn't know about that in her. We talked a lot about life, and at this time, Nettie was seriously ill. They had amputated her leg because of diabetes. And she had fallen out of bed and hurt herself pretty seriously, pretty much that she was unable to move in most of her body. I remember those visits with her vividly. They had a special impact on my life. I just came to Christ, and it just was something that really ministered to my heart. And every time I went to see her, she talked about Jesus. Some form of Jesus and who he was to her, and then she shared with me her great concern for her children to know the Lord. And almost every time I went, she asked me to read Psalm 103. I wasn't really sure back then why, but I know why now. So the psalm became foundational to my life in the Lord. As we pull it apart here and as we talk about it, as you listen to it and read it, you'll begin to understand why my grandmother had me read this to her every time I went to visit. For Psalm 103 is pure praise. It's all praise from start to finish. It's pure worship. This psalm has a riveted focus on one person, one person only, the Lord God. The worship of the psalm is made up of recitation and remembrance of the reality of salvation's blessings. That's what it is. There's no mention of historical circumstances in the text. There's no mention of requests. There's no complaints. There's no lines of sadness or stress or concerns. Just pure worship to God. That's what it's about. It's all joyful, all thankful, all overflowing praise. And it rises from a heart of those who've been given full assurance of eternal salvation. The psalm rises from a soul of those with the assurance to God's loving grace bestowed upon their life. I've learned why my grandmother wanted me to read it. It was her praise. It was her worship in remembrance of all God's benefits. For she had a tremendously difficult life. Too many trying details for me to discuss now. But these benefits weren't about many earthly things. These benefits that she remembered and dwelled upon, they weren't really about great outcomes in life. Those benefits were about God's gracious and merciful salvation truths and about God's love along the way in her life. And she wanted me to read it because she wanted to remember the love and grace and mercy of God throughout all of her life. And she was 84 when she passed away. For Psalm 103 is a call to worship. A call to bless God because of his grace and mercy and love upon your life. It's a call to praise God and give thanks to him with all your heart, like Psalm 111 says. It's a call to worship him like Psalm 116, 12 through 14 says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of my salvation. I shall call upon the name of the Lord, and I shall pay my vows to the Lord, and oh, may it be in the presence of all his people." So this Psalm 103 is a call to worship, and it has three parts in it. The first call is an internal call. It's from the soul. We'll see that in verse 1 through 5. The second part is an external call to worship. We'll see that in verses 6 through 18. It's a call to all humanity to come to God and to live God's truth. And the third part is a universal call to worship. It's a call of all things to lift up their voice, of all things to lift up their life and worship God and God alone. So let's look at this. Let's look at the first part. It's an internal call to worship God. I want you to listen to verse 1 and 5. Are you there with me? Look at it. The psalmist writes, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. The psalm begins with a summons. Did you hear it? It's a summons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. It's a summons to your own soul. It's a call to your own soul. You, it's much like Psalm 146 and 1 and 2. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will give praise to the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. It's like you're talking to yourself. That's what the psalmist is doing. It's like, well, that's what we do in worship. That's what we, the call to worship here, is to speak to your own life, to speak to your own new life in Christ, your own being, and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless him. Bless means to extol, to thank, to praise the excellence of an object. That word in this context is used as an act of worship. It's an internal call. Each one of us are to talk to ourselves and from our soul to bless his holy name, to bless God. It's from all that is within you. It's from all your faculties. It's an internal, motivated thing to do so. And that's what I wanted to think about that for this morning. It's an eternally motivated thing to do. It comes from your new life in Christ and your understanding of God and the truth of God and the salvation you had. And it's you knowing what God has done and you saying to yourself, bless, extol, thank, praise the Lord, my being. It's speaking to yourself. And that's what the psalmist is doing. It's a call to worship from the inside. This is where worship starts. This is where it starts for every Christian, every believer, everyone that worships God. It's from your being. It's from your soul. It's not really connected to everything, every earthly circumstance of life. But it's connected to your understanding of God's character and the grace and mercy and love found in God's gift of salvation. It's called true worship. Jesus said in John 4 that the Father seeks true worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. And that's the true worth of worship he's calling for. It's without regard to any external experience. It's without regard to any circumstances of earthly life. It's from the inside of a heart of gratitude for God's saving grace. It's the soul of a person that thanks and praises God for who God is. And God is the one who chose to love you and chose to give you grace and mercy. That's where it comes from. It's an understanding that that's who God is. That by his own, nobody made him. He sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God chose that. It wasn't based upon external things. It was based upon God and who he is. and through faith in Christ to give grace and mercy. And this is where it begins. This is how we live our life. Look at verse 2. This is how the Christian lives, we live our lives. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. See, you bless, you extol, you thank the excellencies of God and his character, and you forget none of his benefits. Again, you are summoned from your soul to make note of every benefit of God. Could you do that? Let's give you a minute to think about that, just for a minute. Could you do from your soul, bless God, and just make note of every benefit of God for you? Catalog it. Catalog every grace. Catalog every mercy. Catalog every act of provision, every act of protection, every act of kindness, every expression of love, every act of God's providence. Catalog the eternal stuff. How long would it take? How long would it take for you to sit and write and catalog all the mercy and grace of God each and every day in your life, regardless of external circumstances? To catalog God's love for you each and every day, and his kindness and his expression of love and the providence of God. Tom, you prayed about it. We know with confidence, assurance, that the providence of God is going to bring out what God has planned and purposed in the midst of something we would say is the most horrible thing to come upon the world. And we look at the people and the wrong views and what they're trying to do against America and all that, and we know the providence of God. We could catalog it every day. How long would it take us? Kind of shows us we're kind of behind in worship, doesn't it? Made me really think about it. I'm kind of way behind here because I haven't been cataloging these. And as you do this, you have to acknowledge what you deserve. With what grace and mercy through love God has given you. You have to give recognition to that truth, don't you? From his word, what we know is that we all deserve judgment. But because of God, we don't get what we deserve, but receive God's grace and mercy through love, don't we? This is how we live our lives. Blessing God from the soul and remembering all of his benefits. The Hebrew word for benefit, what's that mean here? What is he referring to? It means gracious acts or acts of grace. That's what it means. It says, from the soul, we bless God. We extol him. That's what we do. This is the way we live our life. And we remember all of his acts of grace, all of his gracious acts in our life. The base form or the root form of the word means what is done. Here, speaking about what God has done. What is done in the intended purposes of God's love shown you, God's mercy, and his grace given to you. What is done? What's the intended purpose of all that? In remembering all those benefits, salvation is done, redemption is done, reconciliation is done, forgiveness is done, that you will be with him throughout eternity, that God will never leave you and forsake you, that your life is giving glory to God, that you have hope and joy, and that you have contentment and peace in the midst of all of this. By this is done by the grace of God. We're to remember what God has done and what he's doing. In Matthew 25, 21, the same word in the Greek is translated, well done. It's remembering God and all of God's well done to you in your life. Or in Luke 15, this word is translated in the Greek best. It's remembering all of God's best done on your behalf for God's glory. Let me ask a question. Is there anything worth remembering more than his salvation found in him? Well done, God. Your absolute best. You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to give us life. Communion today. Your absolute best for us was to give us your Son. Well done, God, the grace and mercy bestowed upon us. And then in each and every day of our lives, think about it. You will not perish because nobody can take you out of God's hand. That your eternal glory and eternal hope is guaranteed by God himself, that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, that Jesus is in the throne of God interceding on our behalf. All the things that we know about God and the benefits of God and his gracious acts toward our lives, the benefits of God are to be seen as God's goodness and kindness toward the recipient. Kind of makes it shallow when we think about the benefits of God being something simply earthly. The benefits of God are to be seen as God's goodness and kindness toward the recipient that are acts of love, grace, and mercy. The Hebrew word that would represent the best this idea is loving kindness. No wonder why my grandmother wanted me to read this to her. For this is what was on her heart. For she, from her soul, wanted to remember God's love, grace, and mercy shown her no matter what earthly circumstances she was in, and worship her God from the soul. And so here are some of the benefits the psalmist declares that we should remember. Look at verse 3 through 5 with me. Look what the Word of God says. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things. So first, who pardons all your iniquities. There's not a better line in the Bible. Is there any greater benefit than salvation's forgiveness? This is the door to the treasure house of divine grace. So much of our life we forget to remember that without God's divine work through Jesus Christ, we would not find forgiveness. No way. No how. David said in Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2, how blessed, listen to this, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. How would you answer that? How blessed is the man where God doesn't impute iniquity? The answer is unfathomable, isn't it? In the reality of it. I mean, you can't really, we're really blessed. It doesn't even come close, does it? Do we remember from our soul what Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:7? Let me read it to you. That in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which God lavished on us. And worship God. Do we remember that? Do we remember that through our forgiveness we have redemption, have been redeemed? That word here is which is the release of captive sinners from their captivity of sin to be set free to live for God and will live with God forever. That God benefit. That God act of grace. Do you remember the benefits, the acts of grace by God? Then the psalmist said, who heals all your diseases. Now, we would love that to be physical, right? But all of us are going to pass away, so he doesn't heal all our diseases because something is going to have us pass away. So the word can't be physical diseases he's talking about here. It's not what he's talking about. And it's all of them, right? The meaning of the word disease here is moral disease from the consequences of sin. What it means is the sickness that is in the heart of man is healed. The spiritual disease of a fallen soul is healed. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's referring to. He heals them all. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:24 that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. The spiritual and moral disease of being a slave to sin and unable to live the righteousness of God has been healed. Jesus, quoting Isaiah 6:10, said this in John 12:40, that eyes not blinded to the truth of him and hearts not hardened to the truth of him, if they would see the truth of Christ from their heart, they would be converted, saved, born again, given new life, and I would heal them. That healing is the new life in Christ. The old life is gone, the new has come, right? Romans 6, what we've been learning. This is Psalm 103. From the soul, remembering the gracious acts of God who pardons your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And then it says, who redeems your life from the pit. Listen, there is no redemption, there's no release of the captive of sin apart from God's loving act of grace and mercy. Psalm 34:22 says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned, now or ever. apart from God's salvation, every life is in the pit with no human strength to climb out, and you'll stay there for eternity. But as Psalm 49:15 says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of soul for Sheol, and he will receive me to himself. Or as also it says in Psalm 56:13, for you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. What a magnificent truth. What an incredible benefit of God, act of mercy. Like I said, I've learned why my grandmother wanted me to read Psalm 103. For from her soul, she wanted to worship God in remembering him as his Redeemer by his gracious acts of grace and mercy. Then it says, for God crowns your life with loving kindness and compassion. This is an incredible verse. Crowns means surrounds here. That's what he's talking about, surrounding your life. Loving kindness is God's goodness toward the recipient with love, grace, and mercy. That's what it is. And the psalmist is remembering the gracious act of God to surround his life with the love, grace, and mercy and compassion of God. Let me illustrate it for you. If you're a believer in Christ and you've trusted in him, all the days of your life, you're crowned, you're surrounded in this life by the love, grace, and mercy and compassion of God, no matter what the earthly life looks like. It's like what it says in Romans 5, we stand in grace. It's that kind of idea. And that's what the psalmist says. This is the benefits of God. These are the things that remember. It's not based upon earthly circumstances. It's not based upon how hard things are here. It's based upon who God is, his character, what he says, and his truth. And my life and your life is crowned, surrounded by the loving kindness and compassion of God each and every one of our days. I want to remember that. In this earthly life, with so many things tugging on our soul for attention, you guys know this, right? It's hard to recognize sometimes for the believer, for the Christians, that your life, all of it, forever is surrounded by the loving kindness and compassion of God. God's word says it is. He promises that it is. But for my grandmother, laying in a bed, really unable to move, it's what her soul remembered, and she worshiped God. Because though even in the most difficult lives for the Christian, the psalmist writes, God satisfies your years with good things. It's not a fleshly gratification or satisfaction. It's a spiritual one. We would know that. Psalm 63, turn there with me, describes the satisfied life best, that God satisfies the believer, the one that has faith in God, with in this life. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 8. Let me read it to you. The psalmist writes, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now I want to stop there and say something for a moment. I know people in life. I know us as believers in life. I know us that sometimes it seems like things are dry. Sometimes it seems like that we don't have God and things are messed up in life and there's so many problems or so many struggles, so many difficulties, all those things that are happening and we wonder where God is and all of that. But in the midst of all of the hard things that we got going on, maybe it's relationship issues, maybe it's financial issues, all of that kind of thing. It's what satisfies the soul most is God and God alone. And this is what the psalmist is bringing out. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches. For if you've been my, you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. That's the song of the one who recognizes that it is God who satisfies the real desire of a saved soul. So first, it's an internal call of the soul to worship God, remembering all his gracious acts, to pardon all your sin, to heal all your spiritual diseases, to redeem your life from the pit, to redeem your life from separation from God, to surround your life in his loving kindness and compassion, to satisfy your life with his presence. It's an internal call. But let me do these next two quickly from Psalm 103. It's also an external call. It's a call for all humanity to come to the Lord and worship him and live his way. Look at verse 6 through 18. Let me just read it all and I want you to hear it. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who revere him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who revere him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. And as for man, his days are like grass. And as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. And when the wind is passed over it, it is no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who revere him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. So much here. So much we could talk about. But you heard the call, didn't you? Look at verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who revere him. Revere, fear, honor, trust, believe, faith. It's a call to come to faith. It's a call to believe in the loving kindness of God in the midst of whatever it is. His loving kindness is greater than this life. It's higher than anything here. So God's loving kindness is offered to those who will believe and trust in him. Look at verse 13. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who revere him, fear him, trust him, believe him. It's a compassion's offer. And then in verse 14 and following, he says, for God knows our frame. He knows each and every one of us, where we're at right now, what we're listening to, what we're wearing, what we're doing, what we're thinking. He knows all about our lives. He knows it's a short life and it will all pass away. And here won't remember it anymore. But listen to verse 17 and 18 again. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who revere him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. It's really a call to believe in him and trust in him and follow him, for his loving kindness will never end. It's an external call to worship God, to come to the Lord, and it's an external call to worship for those that know him. To remember his ways found in his word and do them. That's what it said. So the third part of the text. So first, it's an internal call to worship God from the soul. It is an external call to come to him, to worship God and follow his word. And it's a universal call. Look at this with me. It's a call for all things to extol, praise, thank, and bless the Lord. From their very foundation, listen to what it says in 19 through 22. And the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, That I won't go into all of that, but that's moon, stars, whatever, all host is all kinds of things who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his and all places of his dominion. Where is that? His dominion's everywhere. All the works of God, all bless the Lord. And then it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So we catch this at the end here with the universal call is a call to your soul to bless the Lord. All creation is called to worship God, and it includes us. So as his church, let it begin with us, right? Let it start with us, that we speak to our new life in Christ, that we speak to the new life that God has given us, that we speak to this soul that has been raised from the dead and given a new life and has a relationship with God, that we would bless the Lord and remember all his benefits. As we close today, let me ask the praise team to go ahead and come on up. We're going to take communion today with this communion message on our heart. So they're coming up. You prepare to take communion. I'm ready to go. These guys are ready to go. But let's gather that together. The praise team, during our communion time, are going to play again the song 10,000 Reasons. Let me tell you why. I'm going to wait for them to get up here. Don't want to rush them. I remember last communion, you guys sent me some videos and some pictures of the things that you took. Very creative. But they're going to play the song 10,000 Reasons as we take communion. Let me tell you why. In 1974, there was a little boy born in England. This little boy was born into a very dysfunctional family, and his father committed suicide when he was 7. He didn't know that his father had done that, taken his own life, until he was 10. It left some scars on him, and his mother remarried to a very abusive stepfather who eventually ended up in prison for abusing the family. All of our hearts are tugged for children, right? A hard life for a little boy in England. Sometime later in his youth, he went to a mission meeting in England and he heard the gospel and was converted to Christ. He's a very good musician and he wanted to celebrate what Christ had done in his life. He started writing songs. And then he came across Psalm 103. And he wrote a song for Psalm 103, and that name of that song is 10,000 Reasons. And that young man, that little boy, is Matt Redman. And 10,000 Reasons is his expression of Psalm 103. I'm sure my grandmother had 10,000 reasons. I'm learning I got a lot too. How about you? Let's prepare to take communion. Paul records what the Lord said about communion in 1 Corinthians 11:23 and 24. It says, Jesus took the bread. Gave thanks. He broke the bread to pass it out and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I think today we grew in our understanding of what we remember, don't you? Let's take the bread. Then it says in 1 Corinthians 11, Jesus took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup. I'd encourage you, if you're at home today, go ahead and stand and let's finish up singing this song and worship, and then we'll pray. And your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
worship His holy name. Sing like never before, and oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength draws near and my time has come, and still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the day You've given, for the opportunities that we have to love You and to love others, and for Your goodness toward us. Really thankful is not even enough to say about that. So we do, from our soul, we want to bless You, Lord, and not forget all that the grace and mercy bestowed upon our life, and to remember it each day. Thank You, Lord, for Your forgiveness and Your compassion and Your loving kindness when we turn away from that at times or don't think of it. But thank You, Lord, that You are kind and patient and gentle and bringing us back to You in each and every way. So we just lift up our hearts to You this morning and praise You on this Lord's Day. And thank You for the grace to know You and to love You and to be a light for You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today.